Welcome to the Global P&D Team Podcast, your go-to space for inspiration, insight, and impact in the world of performance and development. We're here to spark meaningful conversations, share powerful stories, and explore the ideas shaping how we grow, learn, and thrive together. Whether you've tuned in from a hustling office or a quiet corner of the world, this podcast is designed to connect our global community through shared learning, curiosity, and collaboration. Each episode will dive into topics that matter, from navigating change with confidence, reframing limited beliefs, to unlocking creativity. You'll hear from leaders, team members, and special guests who bring fresh perspective and practical tools to help you elevate your impact. So grab your headphones, a coffee, settle in, and let's grow together. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement for learning, leading, and evolving in a world that never stands still.
Hello and welcome to the P&D podcast. I'm Lucy Scally and I'm here today with the fabulous Jo Wright. Welcome, Jo.
Thank you, Lucy. Delighted to be here with you on today's podcast.
Thank you. And for those people that don't know you, Jo is the co-founder of Coaching Culture, as well as many other things, which you'll find out through our discussions. So, Jo, we've got loads of questions to put to you. But the first question is, what led you into the world of coaching?
Oh, great starter question there. Thanks, Lucy. Do you know what? Many years as a manager and then a leader of people and realising that coaching was the thing that was helping me and my team be the best we could be. I know that sounds quite cheesy, but it's really, really true. And I stumbled across coaching without knowing it was coaching by being one of those young managers who thought that the way to manage was to have all the answers. Nobody had told me any different. So when I sort of ran out of answers for telling my team what to do, I remember distinctly one day I was the manager of somebody way better than me, way more experienced. And I just sort of said, look, what would you do? And what he would have done was so, so brilliant. And I just remember thinking, why didn't I ask that earlier? And from there on in, I started asking a lot more questions, empowering the team, and it all the things just started to kind of fit into place. But the real catalyst, I think, for me going on to do a coaching qualification was I was a change and learning manager on a transformational change program, as they always are.
Yeah, of course.
The acronym for that role was CALM. So change and learning manager. It was like, this is anything but CALM, but nonetheless. And I remember all at that point in my career, I'd now been coaching teams. I'd not really had any true development on coaching specifically. I just was relying on being a good human being, building trust, rapport, caring for my team, all the natural things that a coach you would want to display. And I remember being on this role and I remember thinking we were busy telling the organisation, the teams, what we were going to change and how we expected them to come on the journey. And I remember thinking at the time, people just don't change when you tell them to. They just don't change when you...
So annoying.
Life would be so much either easier or boring if they did. And I remember thinking, coaching is the answer. So I started having one-to-one conversations, group coaching exercises, where people had their opinions heard, their opinions were valued, and started helping them buy into the change. And I remember thinking, there's something really special in this. There's some psychology in why people do what they do, why they think like they think. So not long after that, I started researching coaching qualifications, landed on a coaching qualification after some research. And it was life-changing. It was one of those, wow, why did I not know this stuff before? And it led me to, it helped me get rid of so many limiting beliefs that I didn't even know I had. They were already there inside me. I didn't even know what a limiting belief was, never mind how many of them I had, and that was dragging around behind me. And it allowed me to really feel so deeply and passionate about coaching. We then set up Coaching Culture to get it out to the world. And obviously we've used technology. If you want to enable coaching to the masses, you have to use technology to do that. Because I remember feeling that I was coaching people and felt like I was sprinkling fairy dust on one person here and one person there. And I thought, well, that ain't going to change the world anytime soon. So actually, how do we get that, you know, coaching out there? And that's where Coaching Culture came about, really. Get coaching out, make it affordable, accessible. Help people to build their own skills, recognize their own mindset, raise their own self-awareness. And coaching is just for me. And now I see it and hear it in everything that I do. And I don't know if that's just me, but, you know, where I see so many experts coaching people through great questions, but I don't always think they realize they're coaching.
I think that's really true. When we talk to people about what coaching is and the skill, they in lots of cases, they realise they're already doing it, which is fantastic.
Yes.
In other cases, not so much. they're on the journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the vision behind Coaching Culture, was it that sort of scale to do it, but to do it at scale, be able to help lots of different people?
Absolutely. I mean, I literally remember having a conversation with my business partner at Coaching Culture. I was on my soapbox about coaching, like, you know, this is it. People and organizations focus too much on knowledge and skills. This is absolutely about how do we help people recognize their thoughts, their feelings, their beliefs, and how do we help them reframe them to more empowering beliefs, get rid of their limiting beliefs. And it was that, and I remember my business partner, who was the digital wizard behind the curtain, sort of his mind was whirring, thinking, well, actually, you know, could we do coaching through technology? And I was about to just say, absolutely not. This is a human-to-human thing. And then I really thought about it. I thought, actually, if we want to get out to the world and really help people through the power of coaching and inspire them to think differently, then yeah, we're going to have to use technology. And that's exactly what we did and what we have done and what we are continuing to do.
Brilliant, thank you. And what impact have you seen Coaching Culture have on organisations so far? Any sort of standout success stories?
Oh, there's a many and there's a number. I think I've got some real favourites, really. So there's different levels, because some people come to Coaching Culture because they're wanting to go from being a good organisation to great, or some are going, oh, we're actually at the starting blocks here. We just want some help to get coaching off the ground. And I think a fabulous story was a good to great story, actually, which and they feature in the book, and they won the Coaching Culture Awards, Coaching Culture of the Year, which was a lovely social enterprise organisation called PSS. And really, why do I love their story is because it was role model how they achieved it. They were already recognizing they were doing good stuff. They were listening to their employees. They were having some good conversations, but they realized the thing that was going to make their organization even better was to dial up coaching and feedback. So right. Coaching and feedback conversations was really going to unlock the potential, not just of individuals and teams, but the whole organization. And that's absolutely what they did. And they brought Coaching Culture in from a digital solution to give coaching, you know, to give access to everybody. They also had some leadership and management programs, a bit more face-to-face and going a bit deeper. And the leadership team at the very top, they invested in coaching qualifications. So coaching was filtering through the organization, and Coaching Culture was, you know, was a part of that. Whereas when you're only using human-to-human coaches, you are relying and trusting people to, you know, take the reins and change behaviours. Whereas when you use Coaching Culture solutions, you can get them out to as many people as possible because it's digital, and that's the point. So that was one example. He also had another example. It was actually our second customer. We've got two customers who sort of battle for we were your first customer. They both bought from us on the same day, and I kind of sold one of them, and my business partner had sold to the other, so we were sort of competing kind of who sold this first. But nonetheless, it was one of our very first customers, in an organization that were quite old school in their thinking. It was very top down. People weren't really having open conversations. So it was a real closed ranks organization. And our people director, who's now there as a people director, came in and recognized we needed to open up the conversations. And, you know, it was a big organization. How do we go about doing that? So she actually went around asking lots of questions. But then she also broke Coaching Culture Solutions in to help more people start identifying what they needed from a skills and a mindset perspective. So we were over there. She was there busy going throughout the organization. And over time, the culture started changing. So this is a story from quite some time ago. And I think what makes my heart sing about this is when everybody else was flapping around in COVID, because we were all in crisis, not knowing what to, there was no rule book. Their organization were really calm, really trusting, and everything went really smoothly because the culture had significantly changed with our help, because they'd taken more of a coaching approach throughout the organization, and there was more trust, more open conversations, and psychological safety. So when COVID hit, everybody pulled together. It wasn't, whereas before that it had been quite closed ranks. Yeah. And I think that's quite a lovely story. But there's many stories, because different organisations have got different parts of Coaching Culture Solutions. Some of them have even gone as far as the sort of what I would call the platinum solution, which is replacing annual appraisals and using our software to capture everyday coaching conversations. Brilliant. So making coaching part and parcel of everyday life.
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. How do you measure the success of Coaching Culture? Would it be the overall strategic impact? Or is it a combination of things?
Do you know what? I mean, I think it's many things. I think if you look at a successful growing business and you delve under the bonnet and you start identifying positive behaviours, positive conversations, psychological safety, you're going to attract the right people into your organisation, you're going to keep hold of the right people, you know, you're creating the right environment for people to flourish. I think there's so many different metrics. For me, it's not about what's the number of coaching conversations that are happening in the organisation and let's, you know, reward everybody who's having them. For me, it's the more very tangible, but also those metrics that are linked to people, whether that's attrition, whether that's sickness, you know, that rates of promotion. I think, you know, when people are feeling good about themselves and the culture they're working within, success will follow. And I think it all wraps up together. And that's why for me, I'm so passionate about helping organisations, you know, create the right environment to help other people and themselves to flourish. That's a coaching culture. And often I hear organisations talk about their culture and they're describing a coaching culture, but they don't call it out as such. Yeah. Sometimes I think people get a bit scared by the phrase, which is quite interesting. Whereas actually, you know, I think it's where leaders and managers help people to really thrive, because they're having those open and honest conversations, including feedback, which I know is really important to yourselves. You know, actually, how can you build that environment where you can challenge people and support people without retribution? This is a growth agenda on so many levels. And for me, coaching's about really understanding people, understanding what their thoughts and beliefs are, because those thoughts and beliefs are driving their actions on a daily basis. And if we want to get to influence and help people perform at their best, we need to understand what's going on under the surface. And that's often the thing that gets missed.
I think that's a really good example. And for me, I think people are scared of coaching in a way, or it's this sort of scary thing over here. But actually, if they just jump in as a manager and leader and just ask some questions, you know, try and find out what's happening with your person. Don't worry about the actual skill of it, if you like. No. Just be interested and start conversations. I think our leadership are brilliant. They're jumping in with both feet. They're doing their one-to-ones. You know, they're measuring success, all that lovely stuff. But I think, yeah, I suppose that's the myth to break, isn't it? That you have to be a qualified skills coach to be able to have a good coaching conversation. That's not true, surely.
That's really not true. And it's one of the biggest myths is actually you don't need to be a, you know, you only need to be an accredited, you know, professionally accredited coach if you are telling people, I am a professionally accredited coach. You know, I was having great coaching. I was having great coaching conversations as a manager who'd not had any coaching experience. I think where you, when you get your professional accreditation, you're delving deeper into the psychology, you're getting different tools and models and techniques. It becomes, you know, it does become an art and a science when you are investing in that level of CPD, but you don't have to invest in that level of CPD to have a great conversation. And I call it from the sort of transactional to the transformational conversations. But there's so many myths about having coaching conversations, so many. And I just think if people got over their fears and literally asked more, listened more, you'll be surprised at what comes back and what magic will happen from getting to know your people. And some people are frightened of it. People are frightened to get to know people as human beings at work.
I do think so. I mean, as an organisation, we're going for a huge transformational change. So I had a little giggle when you said transformational change. I had a little giggle. I mean, who isn't at the moment?
Who isn't?
You know, absolutely. But I think with everything that's happened, there's a lot, you know, there can be quite a lot of noise around you and stuff. But I think the one consistent that our managers and leaders can take from this is still spend time listening to your team, getting to know your team, finding out what they need, what their wants are, what their desires are, what their values are, all that lovely stuff. Anyway, I'm not answering the question, so. So would you sum that up as that's the mindset shift? Because that was our next question. What mindset shift do leaders need to make to truly embrace coaching and a coaching culture?
I think my favourite is I don't have to have all the answers.
Oh, yes.
Because how many people, me included, from the story I told you earlier, think they have to know it all to wear the, you know, have the stripes on the shoulder of manager or leader? Absolutely. That to me, the best people don't have all the answers. The best people ask the best questions.
That's brilliant. Yeah, we'll tick.
You agreed.
Agreed. So my next question, we kind of delved into inadvertently earlier about the misconceptions or the myths, common myths about coaching.
Yeah.
My favourite one is that, you know, you have to have some kind of badge of honour or professional qualification. Actually, no, you don't. Just try. What any other myths or misconceptions that you wanted to bring up?
So many. On that one about being a professional accredited coach, I often say this, Lucy, which is coaching is like cooking. You don't have to be a professional chef to know how to cook, but everybody should have some level of cooking experience and cooking skills. Coaching for me is the same. You don't all have to be a professional coach, but you all should have some level of coaching capability and confidence to have a great conversation. But the other myths are, it's not my job, it's somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm going to send this person to HR or to somebody else to have the conversation that I'm avoiding. You know, that's not, you know, as a leader and manager, we absolutely should take ownership and accountability for the success, motivation and supporting our team. And I think that's really important. What other myths? So it's not my job. It takes too much time.
Oh, yes.
that's a good one. So that's an interesting one. So coaching is an investment in time when you're either sitting with somebody and helping them figure something out, or you're showing them how and then you're empowering them to crack on themselves afterwards. But you know what? It's such a time saver. It is such a time saver in the medium and long term. But you have to invest up front to reap the rewards. Otherwise, if you don't invest in coaching conversations, the team and yourself end up in a downward negative spiral of always being busy, always kind of being on the back foot. Actually, This is about empowering other people to do sometimes the stuff that you would be doing, so everybody grows on the back of it. It's an absolute growth. It's not a tool. I don't like people calling coaching a tool, because it's not a tool. It's a conversation. It's a growth conversation where everybody wins, particularly the leader of the team, because everybody starts stepping up into a new space.
And a big thing for us at the moment is succession planning. So it massively helps with that. If everybody has the skill to elevate to that next level, then, you know, it all, as you say, it all automatically starts to slot into place. So brilliant. Yeah, I totally agree with those misconceptions. And hopefully they've helped some people. Why do you believe that coaching is the critical leadership skill for the future?
Oh, crikey. Where do I even begin? For me, it is, people say to me, there are no silver bullets. I'm like, oh, no, there is one. It's coaching conversations. For me, I think it's essential, it's fundamental to growth, to unlocking performance, to building trust, building relationships, unlocking potential in other people and teams. To me, it's expected now. Mm-hmm. The days of let's go to work and wait to be told are gone and going. We're not in that old school command and control anymore. We've got different generations all under one roof and in one team. People want different things from their leaders and managers. And what people want now are to have their opinions sought after, heard. They want to feel a sense of belonging in a team. They want to feel safe. They want to feel like they're being developed and that they're growing. People don't just come to work like we did in the 50s, you know, and just take the paycheck and then go home at the end of the day and the week. It's not, work provides so many other solutions to people's lives now. I think coaching is only going to continue on the rise. It is rising, it is growing. But I think, you know, wind forward 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and I think, you know, we look back to today, I think we'll see a huge shift in the way organizations are run, are managing amongst themselves, and people being empowered. I often say, Lucy, more than anything, just to probably make people laugh, even though this probably might end up being true, I've given myself a 30-year deadline to help organisations build a coaching culture, which when I first declared that would take me to 82. now I've got a 29-year deadline. So, you know, because it's so important. And I do think these things take time. It ain't a hack and it ain't a quick fix. It's a continuous development, conversation and growth. And it's not fluffy. That, oh, by the way, there's another myth. It's all fluffy.
Yeah, we forgot that one.
That scares me, because for me, you know, it's so not fluffy, because it's about challenging people.
Yeah.
Supporting people. You know, you would never see, you know, any sports teams without a coach focusing on psychology, performance, feedback, getting the best results, getting to know the people, bringing the team together. Whereas we expect people to come to work, we expect people to work in teams, we expect people to work to deliver high performance, but we don't always give people the correct development to achieve that. It's just a given and expected that people know what to do. And I think if people invest a little bit of time and energy into asking more questions, listening more and building relationships, the results will follow.
I agree, absolutely. And I think, we're on the journey, but it, as you say, it takes a while.
It does.
So my next question links direct to that as well. It says, how can organisations create a truly global coaching culture? Is it that consistent continuation of those tools and those conversations? Because as you say, it spins off into everything. You know, how many people we're retaining, how many people we're attracting, how many people are getting promotions, how many people are getting career growth prospects. It's multifaceted, right?
It really is. And I think that's really important to recognise. So for me, I have my little seven-step framework, seven steps to a coaching culture. Get that on a global scale. You know, it's still about starting, having the vision that, hey, we want to create a global coaching culture and let's get put our weight behind this. And we're all moving into the in the direction of what we want our culture to look and feel like, how it feels to work around here. We want coaching conversations. We don't even need to call them coaching. Let's just call them, you know, great quality conversations and effective conversations. So for me, you know, our seven-step process, which sounds very linear, but it's not really linear, to build a coaching culture, it includes, you know, visioning success, putting a strategy in place, putting the resources in place, and engaging the organization. This is the way we're going. You know, this is what we're wanting people. This is what a great leader and manager would be demonstrating at Impellum. And actually, this is what we want. And then we start building capability. We get start getting feedback going more, coaching and feedback, which I know you're already on that journey. Mm-hmm. And then we really just start ramping that up. And it needs to form all parts of, you know, the employee life cycle, really. From when people join the organization, this is what they should expect. They should expect their leader and manager to ask certain questions. How can I help? What would get the best out of you? What do I need to do to support you? You know, what motivates you? You know, when are you at your best at work? You know, what are your strengths? All these sort of great questions to get to know somebody. Tell me more about yourself. You know, when have you been ever at your best? What was that? So many different questions, and it doesn't just have to be all task related. It's when I say it's transformational, that's about getting to know the human being behind
the work. I think we've got some way to go there, because we are, you know, ultimately a sales strategic type organization. Yep. Fast pace, very very into the transformation of tech and how that's going to support us.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, yeah, that's the skill where we need to develop that well-being, that what makes you tick conversation.
Yeah.
Because that for me underpins, you know, if we can understand how somebody is and what their wants, desires and motivations are, the work and the tasks, that will just come, right? That'll be a byproduct of the happiness of the being in the job.
Absolutely. And I think happiness is a really, really interesting one. I remember seeing James Timpson, who wrote the book, what's it called? I've got it back here. The Happy Index. There it is behind me. The Happy Index. James Timpson, who's got a hugely successful organisation. And I saw him do a TEDx talk. And he was describing the culture that he'd created at Timpson Group. And it was all about, you know, and they used to have one question in their big, you know, other organisations have big, wieldy employee engagement surveys. They had one, and it was literally linked to how much support do you get from your line manager, or how, you know, and it was like, wow, it's all about, and the, you know, it was like results day of your A-levels, the day that report kind of came through, because it delivered on everything. And everything he was describing was a coaching culture. He was describing a coaching culture about how people care about their people, ask great questions, support, empower them, and performance comes from the back of that. So I sent him a copy of my book and said, just to let you know, you were describing a coaching culture. Here's a bit more. And he wrote back and thanked me for it. So that's good.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was really good. But again, that says everything about him. Cares about people. Exactly. And those little moments make all the difference.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, before we finish this session, you've mentioned it. It would be wrong of me to not give you an opportunity to talk about your book, Joe. Joe, did you write a book? Hooray!
Did I write a book? I did. And do you know what? I was on a podcast recently and I introduced myself and I forgot to mention that I was an author of a book until I saw it sort of in the background kind of over there on my shelf. Daily reminder. Yes, it's called No More... You might have to beep this out, actually, Lucy. No More Shit Managers, Seven Steps to a Coaching Culture. It's got a very cheeky title and deliberately so, so that it would jump off a shelf, because actually somebody described it as a love letter to humanity, which is much more my kind of...
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely not a manager bashing book whatsoever. It literally is, how can you be how can you be the great person at work as a leader and manager? How can you build a culture where everything we've talked about today is embedded and lived and breathed? So yeah, it's nearly 2 years old, this book. I can't believe it.
Gosh, I can't believe that was 2 years ago that we were talking about.
Do you feature in it?
We do feature it, and Pelham is very proud to be a case study in the book of somebody that's trying to develop a coaching culture. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, guys, if you're interested, go buy the book, find Jo, find out all her ideas, etc. Jo, thank you very much for this first session. The good news is we're going to be back for a second session. So anybody that wants to listen in, session two will be coming soon. But Jo, thanks very much for today.
Thanks, Lucy. Loved it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's Global P&D Team podcast. We really hope you've enjoyed our conversation. We hope it sparked new ideas, offered a fresh perspective, and reminded you of the power of learning and growing together. Whether you've walked away with new insight or a question to explore, remember, development is a journey, not a destination. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with colleagues, start a conversation, or even take one small action that moves you forward. And if there's a topic that you'd love to explore, or you want to get involved in future episodes, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. So until next time, keep learning, keep leading, and keep showing up with purpose.